Hey friends, before we dive into this episode, I just put together a brand new guide to help you start and build your web design business. For those of you who are early stagers, whether you're just starting or whether you're just having trouble getting your business off the ground, this free guide is a 10-step action plan that is a proven path to building your business successfully. We're going to cover things like what to offer and what services to provide your clients as a web designer, how to price those, and I'm even going to share some of my top tips for starting to get paying clients. I'm also going to share with you the things you need to know as a web designer to be able to charge accordingly. So you can pick up this free guide at joshhall.co/build. Again, it's a 10-step action plan. It is a proven path to starting your web design business successfully. It is definitely what I wish I had when I got started. So I'm really excited to share it with you. Pick it up today for completely free. joshhall.co/build. I'm excited to help you start and build your business.
Welcome to the Josh Hall Web Design Show. Web Design Show, helping you build better websites and create a web design business that gives you freedom and a lifestyle you love.
All right. Welcome to episode 18, friends. Hope you guys enjoyed my slightly terrible Matthew McConaughey intro there, but this episode, you are in for a treat because we're going to be talking about two lovely words that are available to all of us web designers, and those are recurring revenue. So for this talk, I've brought in my man and colleague, John Wooten. He, if you don't know him, if you're maybe new to the Divi community, he is a professional web designer, agency owner, and a course creator and fellow teacher. He's based out of Lincoln, Nebraska. And I brought him in for this talk because this is something that I'm really passionate about and working on, which is creating more recurring revenue income streams for me and my business. And he's done the same. He has multiple outlets, and that's what this episode is all about. We talk about how you can start building recurring income for your web design business right now. The big thing about this episode that John and I both talk about very openly is that we have pretty much one regret in our business, and it's not building recurring income and revenue sooner. So I want you to really think about this and apply what you hear in this episode to your business to start building that recurring income. Now, primarily, we talk about maintenance plans, which is kind of the most obvious way web designers can build recurring income that comes in monthly by offering a website maintenance plan. So John and I really get into the weeds of each of our plans. We get into lessons learned, and we, quite frankly, we talk very openly and transparent about our numbers, about what's worked for us, and we do talk about some nightmare experiences that will hopefully help you avoid so you can start building some awesome recurring income. And then towards the end of the talk, we get into some additional options because it's not just website maintenance plans that will build recurring income for you. There's a ton of other options available, particularly if you're using Divi and you're in the Divi community. So I'm super, super excited for you to hear this talk and, more importantly, pull it into your business and apply some things immediately. Now, you're probably thinking, all right, I know what's coming. Josh is going to plug his maintenance plan course because we're talking about recurring income. But I'm going to give you a curveball here. We're not going to plug the maintenance plan course, although I do have that available for you. I'm going to plug my cPanel course. We talk about this in the episode, but when you get into web design, you have got to know cPanel. And even some of the hosting companies that don't use cPanel, if you're not familiar with that, it's the control panel where all your settings for your domains, your WordPress files, your email, and all that stuff is. You've got to know and got to have a really good understanding of that. Otherwise, you're going to have some nightmare experiences when there's migrations or hacks. And you'll find out too, as I mentioned in the episode, if you have a good understanding of domain settings and email settings, you will make clients for life because they're going to break something, they're going to turn to you, and then you can be a rock star and be their trusted web guy or web gal. So check out my cPanel course. It's a very affordable course. Link below in the show notes, and I would love to help you get a good understanding of that. So without further ado, friends, enjoy my very in-depth, transparent, and real, and quite frankly, awesome, fun talk with my man, John Wooten. Jay Woot, welcome to the show, man. Thanks for taking some time to chat today.
Absolutely, Josh. Thanks for having me, and congrats again on your growing family. Excited for you on that. That's cool.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. Yeah, we were talking before we went live about parenthood and entrepreneurship and balancing time and work and babies and everything. And it's a process. Now we have a 1.5-year-old and a newborn, and it is definitely a process adjusting, but it's awesome.
And I think thanks to web design and the freedom of freelance work, and more importantly, the subject we're going to talk about, recurring income, has really put me in such an incredible spot to stay at home. And I was telling you before we went live, I actually work a lot less now than I did before I had kids, but I make more. And it's because I prioritize what's absolutely most profitable and most important in business. So when I'm sitting here at a screen, it's focus. So didn't mean to start that way, but I just wanted to say that's kind of what we're all about here. I know you got stuff planned in the future. So man, it's awesome to have you. I called you Jay Wu. What do you go by, John? What do people call you? Because you have a cool name.
Yeah, the most common ones are Jay Woot, Wooten, J-Dub, sometimes Johnny Boy. Not a huge fan of that one.
Okay, we'll stick with Jay Woot then. It Jay seems Woot to roll off the tongue.
Common one, yeah.
Awesome. Absolutely. Well, I think most people in the Divi community know who you are with your involvements, but for people who don't know you, for those who are maybe new to the WordPress and Divi community, can you just share with us who you are and what you do? I know you have quite a few involvements that we'll get into here.
Absolutely. So I've been designing websites since 2002, so 18 years now. Probably more, that's when I first got into it, was 2002. 2006 is kind of when I was kind of really full-fledged, you know, made the business name and went forward with all that. So I've been designing websites for a long time, been working with WordPress for a long time. Used to build my own Divi theme or WordPress themes. Eventually stumbled upon Divi. But the main company that I work and that I run is Artillery Media. And we're a small team of three now with probably another five or six subcontractors that we use. We're on small on purpose. And then I also am the co-owner of Superfly with Nathan and Daniel. And that is a shop specifically selling Divi themes, child themes, and plugins. And then there's some other things that I also do. There's a small motivational speaking website service that I co-own as well called Brilliant Site. And then I wrote down some other ones here.
I forgot about that one. I think you mentioned that last time we talked.
That one's a sneaky one. That one's sneaky. It's sneaky. It's
That's niche, man. That's niche right there.
It is very niche. And then I also am a musician. And so I usually travel and play about 40 to 50 dates per year doing that. And that is why I love the recurring revenue. That just as it gives you the freedom to maybe work less and focus more on your family. Same thing with music for me right now. And eventually when we have kids, it'll be the same kind of deal. And
awesome.
The recurring revenue is the key. It's the long-term game key to this whole thing. Lastly, I also co-founded last year a web design school called Break Into Web. And same thing, when I'm talking to a photographer or videographer on why should they learn how to build websites, but I don't know how to code, which you don't have to anymore, right? Thanks to Divi. But I tell them, look, it's the recurring revenue that you're not getting right now in photography and videography or graphic design or web consulting. That's what you're missing. And in 5 years from now, if you do this, if you start now, 5 years from now, you're going to look back and be like, wow, I'm so glad that I started building the recurring revenue.
That's a great first point, because that's probably perhaps the main thing that I've learned to love about web design is just that recurring revenue. And you just hit the nail on the head. With other industries like videography and photography, there may be a couple options for some sort of recurring. If it's like packages that you do once a year with certain families, if you're a photographer, or with videography, you could probably do like a retainer of services with certain clients. But with web design, as you just pointed out, with all your endeavors, there are oodles of options for recurring income. And I think that's just amazing. And it's why I'm really passionate about teaching my students, and I know you are with Break Into Web, about the recurring options, the recurring income options for folks, because it's really endless. And the cool thing about it too is it's really only limited by your creativity, right? Like you can really come up with any sort of recurring model that you want around web design. Would you say that's fair in the sphere of web design?
Absolutely. And there are a plethora of ways to do it, right? And some I think are better than others, or some will last longer than others, right? Like if you do let's say you do a social media monthly retainer type deal. Some clients will stay on that for a long time, like a gym membership, as we mentioned. Some will not. They might cancel after a few months. But my recurring revenue of choice, I'm sure yours is, and probably most of the listeners, is hosting and maintenance, right, of the website. They cannot turn that off easily. It's not like a social media retainer where you can just decide, I don't want to pay for this anymore, or email marketing thing, I don't want to pay for this anymore. You turn off your website hosting or maintenance, and ours is bundled together, your website goes down, you have to find a new solution for that. And that pain of switching, not that our clients want to because they love us, right? But that pain of switching and that longevity of the hosting and maintenance. We have clients that have been with us for years, right? I'm sure you do too, that have been with us for years that keep paying the monthly hosting and maintenance. Over time, that builds up. I could tell you our business, my business model and goals for the next year, since it's brand new year, right? Brand new decade. My goal is the same boring goal as it was last year and the year before that and the year before that and the year before that. Ever since I started tracking this particular goal 5 years ago, we hit it every single year. And the goal is this: to build and launch 50 websites per year that are hosted with us. Mm. Now, as a team, Jake and I are pretty much the partners, and we do things together. He manages all the hosting. I manage the maintenance security side. We charge $49 a month. That's our base plan, which is really competitive.
Very affordable.
Absolutely. And I think our cost, if I'm being, you know, a liberal cost, would be $9 out of that $49 per month, right? We have to pay hosting that we resell. We have to pay for the maintenance system, things like that. So what that means is every year we're taking $40 a month times our 50 clients. So every year we're adding at least $2,000 a month on our bottom line recurring revenue. So personally for Jake and I, that's $1,000 each per month every year. So what that means is if I'm making $8,000 a month right now in recurring revenue, I pretty much know for a fact in 4 years from now, it'll be at least $12,000. Why? Because we're going to keep hitting that goal. Yeah. Actually, I have a little chalkboard on the wall right now that says hosting 2020 goal is 50. Right now we're at 1. So we have some work to do, but we'll hit it. Last year we did 52. The year before that we did 55. So that is why I tell folks that's the power right there. That's what gives you the freedom eventually to say no to certain clients or to be more selective or to eventually even say like we do now, if you're not going to host with us, we're not going to build your site.
Oh, okay. I was wondering how you did that because that's one of the biggest tricks in web design is, well, what do I do with a client who has GoDaddy and they've been there for 2 years and they bought like a 4-year package or whatever, like how that works out. So you guys, you only work with people who you host them, you feel comfortable with the servers and everything that's involved with the website.
As of 2019, we started that. And okay. we're still doing that now. For 2018 and 2017, we would still work with sites on other hosts, but they would pay an extra $500 or $600, which is pretty much 1 year of our hosting and maintenance that we do. We do $49 a month, you know, about $600 a year. We would charge them $600 extra if they wanted to stay on their current host. The reason why is we would tell them, hey, look, our hosting company that we use, we know that back end so well. We know the folks that work there. We know the support people. It's much easier and takes less time and our resources to build your site on that hosting platform. We can work with your hosting platform, but it's going to add some time on our end. It might add an extra 2, 3, 4 hours for us to deal with this other hosting company, whoever that may be. And that's where the $600 charge is. It's not just because we don't like you because you're not hosting with us. No, it's because it is going to take us extra time. The hosting company we work with now, we just have it down to a T on spinning up new sites, launching them. It's so easy. And so
I was just going to say, it's such a really important and valid reason to have a different tier in your maintenance plan for folks who, and I've debated that for a long time. I have not taken that step yet, but after just having this conversation with you, I think I'm really seriously going to look at revamping ours to do that as well. Because most of our clients have either hosting with us or there's pros and cons to hosting a client. And absolutely. I've found that sometimes when you're the middleman and there's domain renewals and inevitably you're involved with the email situation, if you're hosting them, that can really bleed into a lot of extra hours, and that can get a little messy if a client is hosting with you and then you're like, well, we need to charge more to do your email and stuff like that. That can open up some doors that have caused me to really just let people sign up for their own hosting. But I do recommend, like I recommend SiteGround. That's who we use and recommend.
Same.
And that way, same thing. Like we still know the back end and we feel comfortable. I know they're secure and they have good servers and everything. So that's kind of the approach that I've taken. However, we still host a lot of clients, and mainly they're the ones who are like, I don't know, like I can barely turn my computer on. So there's no way I want to deal with that. So we're like, that's all right. We'll wrap it up and then we'll just up it, you know, $20 a month or whatever for just hosting the website. But it's interesting because both models work, and yours is better from a standpoint of that ongoing recurring income, like you said. And you're right. It's one of those things where they can't just turn that off. If they turn off their hosting, their website goes down. It's not like a service like you mentioned where it's like, well, let's stop doing social media ads this month. We're having a couple low months. Let's turn it on, you know, eventually. So that's huge. And there's pros and cons to both. So I'm glad to hear that you guys have worked out a pretty good system. On that though, do you find that it's like, do you have some costly situations where you're the middleman between domain renewals and email and stuff like that? Do you feel like that just balances out with the projects that just go fine and are like low cost or low maintenance clients?
Sure. So I guess I'll speak to a few things there. And I feel like this is good to go into since hosting and maintenance is probably going to be the main way most web designers get the recurring revenue. Mm-hmm. The unicorn, you know.
I figured it was the first one we're going to talk about because, yeah, it's the most obvious. It's just awesome. It's why I developed my first course, a website maintenance plan, because it literally, I say this, I think, almost every podcast, but it changed my life. These two lovely words of recurring income. So, yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off
there, John.
Yeah,
no, absolutely.
I knew we were going to start with this because it's obvious and it's huge. It's awesome.
So initially when I first, this is years ago, when I first kind of started getting into recurring revenue, I think there were a couple things that I did not quite right. Number one was I was buying clients' domains for them. And we don't do that anymore and haven't for a very long time because eventually they want to use some other third-party service, right? And you're going to be in charge. You're going to be that middleman between them. Mm-hmm. So now we say, hey, client, buy your own domain. You own the domain, and you can either point your name servers to our hosting, or if you're going to be very active with your domain, then just point the A record to it. We'll log in and get the A record over to us. The other thing, I just watched your episode on filler words, so I'm trying to not do that, but it's hard to concentrate when you're thinking about filler words. Anyway.
I know, right?
For those who haven't watched the last episode, check that out, or the one I just watched yesterday.
Yeah, I just released it. Just recently. Public speaking and presenting, and we talk about nixing filler words and such. So good
right.
stuff.
So I'll do my best to avoid them. Another thing that I did early on was the first couple clients, I hosted their email on the server too. I don't do that anymore. After two clients of that,
the rookie mistake we all make.
I started referring clients to just Google Apps. Google Apps actually has a referral program too. So there's another way to make some recurring.
Oh, I didn't know that. Hmm.
They do. They absolutely do, which is insane. Mm.
So G Suite and everything.
G Suite has an affiliate program.
How did I not know that? Dang.
I just found out last year. Same. Of course, right?
I've got like five people on G Suite the past, I think, 5 months or 6 months that I referred to G Suite. Yeah.
When I checked it out, I had Jake sign us up for it. But when I looked at it, they do cap you at like $3,000 per business.
Oh, okay.
Which is a fine cap,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's all right.
So ever since the early days, I haven't messed with email. We just say, hey, Gmail is amazing. Have your own branded Gmail. That's really what you want. No server email is going to compete with that. So just do that. It's the number one way of communication. It's worth the $5 per month per user. Plus you get all the other things that you get with G Suite. Yeah. Great. Clients really don't push back on that. I always am surprised that they haven't pushed back on that at really ever. They all seem to get it. So initially I started hosting sites and I was on this hosting company, a small one. I had about 25 sites on there. I had got back from tour the day after Valentine's Day, February 15th. I'm out with my wife on a date.
I know where this is going. I can tell where this is going.
Anyway, as you probably can guess, the server goes down.
Oh.
And I had all 25 sites on this server. So a couple big no-nos happening here. I'm getting texts and phone calls on the state. I kid you not. And we're in Omaha, Nebraska, which is like an hour away from my home. I can't do anything. I'm trying to enjoy the state with my wife. I'm a people pleaser, and I know clients are being let down right now. It was just a day ruiner. So after that day, I decided I'm not going to host any more websites.
It's also a red flag, too, when it's not just one client that reaches out, but multiple. That's when you're like, oh, no, something's going on.
I had about four texts and about three or four phone calls, but still, that's a lot. I mean,
oh, yeah, right.
Knowing that most of them don't even know. Right?
In evening hours during a date, that's not great. Not good. Not great. Yeah.
So sure enough, I'm like trying to check on my phone on this date. It's just not good. So basically, I get home and I tell everyone, hey, we're going to move your hosting to a more reliable server. Sorry this happened. And, you know, by hosting, here's a couple links. I didn't know about SiteGround yet. So I sent some links to other hosting companies. They all get eventually on other hosting companies. But then I gain back some, like, you know, stress-free lifestyle, but then I lose recurring revenue. So eventually, I come up with the idea of, you know what, I'm going to have my own maintenance and security plan that doesn't include hosting. And how that started was I had a site in development, which was my first working with WordPress. I was building my own WordPress theme with advanced custom fields, PHP, all that stuff. And I was so naive about WordPress because one of the first WordPress sites I'd done, I didn't realize that you have to keep the software up to date pretty religiously, like you would your own software on your phone or computer. And the site's in development, you know, and the client was pretty well off, and it was kind of a side project for him. So he wasn't really checking the site that often. I think this thing went 3 months in development. It gets hacked. Site gets hacked. And through that hacking, I learned, wow,
the importance
I have
of
to
security.
Keep WordPress up to date. So I have no backups either, like no backups outside of the hosting company.
Oh, man.
I called the hosting company, talked to them. Something had gone wrong. It's 1&1 for those of you that want to know. I'll name drop them. I call 1&1. They tell me that something has gone wrong with the server. We can only roll back 2 days. I say, well, roll back 2 days, I guess. And this is a development site. I check it like once a week. I don't know when it got hacked. These Viagra ads are popping up, stuff like that. They roll back 2 days, restore their website. Looks great. 2 hours later, Viagra ads start popping up. So now I'm like, what am I going to do now?
So they rolled back a hacked version of the site.
Well, whatever happened with their server that they couldn't roll back further than 2 days.
Oh,
the
yeah.
site had been
was already
before.
In place.
Yeah, already. Dun dun dun. So now I'm like, what do I do now? I have no external backup of my own. Hosting company doesn't have a backup for me. I don't know if the files are corrupt or the database is corrupt. And that's when I decided, okay, I'm going to rebuild this site. I'm not going to charge them anything more. This is totally my bad. And I'm going to roll out a website maintenance plan for folks. That way, if they do say no, and I just assumed right off the bat, most of these folks are going to tell me no. But I want it to be like full coverage car insurance. Josh, if you pay off your car and you call me up, I'm your insurance agent, and you say, hey, John, I don't need full coverage anymore. I paid my car off. I want to go down to liability. And I'm like, well, Josh, I don't know if that's a good idea. You know, if you're a cause of an accident, you're like, no, I want to do it. Okay, great, fine. I do that for you. 2 weeks later, you cause an accident, and now you are liable for the damages to the car. Are you mad at me because I took you down to liability? No, of course not. You're mad at yourself. Like, why did I choose to save the $25 or $50 a month?
You got to put the ownership on the client, right? Instead of making you, the web designer, liable, at least present the options and say, hey, if you don't do our maintenance plan, this is what is very well going to happen as far as... Because one thing, important thing to remember, I thought about this a couple of minutes ago when you were talking about this at the start. I don't want to overlook this, is for all web designers, particularly when you're getting started, to remember... Clients don't know anything about this stuff. Most clients, particularly those who are not tech savvy, who are just in their business, They think a website is just a little flat design that you'll put up online somehow. They have no idea what goes on with hosting, how email is connected, how domains are connected, and more importantly, how website hacks happen constantly and how all the tools that every web designer uses. It isn't just WordPress or Divi. Even static HTML sites, there are tools that need to be updated. And yeah, I just don't think clients realize that a website is something that is just like any other software. It's got to be updated or something bad going to happen. So I just wanted to point that out because what you're going into is huge. Like, we're talking about some lessons learned and headache situations that can all be avoided with a website maintenance plan.
Oh, the best was when I spent one time 4 hours Christmas morning fixing a site, but I'll get to that in a second. So then I roll out.
I want to hear about that one, John.
I figure, okay, I'll do a maintenance security plan, and basically found a security plugin I really liked, put in some options for it I really liked, especially blocking fake admin usernames, came up with a list of those that I really liked, save that as an easy importable option thing to set up on a site. Also came up with the backup solution external of the host, right? I went out, I bought Infinite WP, put it on my server. It was a one-time cost for that back in the day. So I bought that, still use that. One-time cost. It's crazy. No monthly fees. I could have, 200 sites on that thing. So I offer this plan for $29 per month. I pitch it as less than $1 a day. I'll secure and maintain your website. You won't have to worry about updating WordPress plugins. None of that. Your website's going to run smooth. It's going to be great. Start pitching it to clients. About 80% of clients say yes to this thing. And I'm like, wow, this is awesome. I thought most were going to say no, but it was going to be my ticket out of, hey, here's the solution I'm offering you. Here's the full coverage insurance. It's there for you. If you say no, if you get hacked, you're not so upset with me. It's a win-win. And if you sign up, it's a win-win. You're getting security. Great. So I built that for quite a while. I think I built that up to maybe 30 or 40 clients. Meantime, I met Jake. I brought Jake on board. Eventually, he's like, how can I earn recurring revenue? And I was like, well, I have this great thing called hosting or maintenance security. If you want to host websites, you can do that. And we can bundle these together at $49 a month and we'll split right down the middle. But you're going to be responsible for hosting. Site goes down, they're going to call you. Right now, a site goes down, they're calling GoDaddy or whoever they're with. They're right. Not bugging me about it. In fact, I would almost say the maintenance security plan I had that I offered was probably the easiest recurring revenue money I ever made. There's no hosting involved. Yeah. So if you're out there right now and you're like, I don't want to be responsible for hosting. Okay, well then don't. Offer that middle security layer is what I called it. Yeah. Offer that layer of security for under $1 a day. Clients will say yes to it. They'll be like, absolutely. And also, I had a weekly backup that wasn't tied to their server. So if everyone always says, if the server goes up in flames, which like never happens, right? But in my case, if something goes wrong with the server and they can only really roll back 2 days, I'm sure that's rare, but it happened.
Yeah, and that's so important what you just said, because what we talked about in the outset of this was that you guys are primarily doing, especially now, the hosting and the security and maintenance, which has pros and cons. The pros are, to kind of recap that, you're getting a lot more recurring income. Even if it's 10 or 20 extra bucks a month times 100 clients, that's not too shabby. That's all good recurring income. Yes, you're the middleman periodically with domain questions or email and stuff like that. But it sounds like you guys have found a sweet spot to where you and Jake are managing that. And it's, obviously if it was killing you guys on time, you would nix it or figure something else out. Right. Whereas my method was more like, we still have some of those clients, but I prefer to have people handle the hosting through SiteGround, as long as it's a host that we approve. Because if somebody says, well, I want to stay with Bluehost or GoDaddy, not for us. We're not doing that anymore. You could go both ways. And I totally agree. And it's funny you mentioned that, John, because it's the first thing I say in my maintenance plan course is that I hate to use the term easy money, but it's easy money for web designers, the maintenance and security plan, because once you know how to sell it, it's very easy to maintain. It's very generally low time per month to be able to do those things. And I'm not sure what you guys are using now, but I use Managed WP. So we have all of the backups, all of the updates, the monitoring and everything else on that. And we do the same thing. I set it up initially to where we do an external backup on Dropbox, but you could put it anywhere. And so we have two destinations for backup. So God forbid something happens, we're in the clear. We're not liable. Like we're protected. So yeah, huge, huge stuff.
So ever since we started launching the maintenance plan and then later adding the hosting to it, any site that's ever been on our plan, while the site was on our plan, no hacks, zero, not a single one. So I did have a client refuse the maintenance security plan, and they were the ones that got hacked Christmas Eve. I spend Christmas morning. This might be a lesson here. I spend Christmas morning. I get their site because we were waiting for family to come over. You know, we weren't kind of really celebrating yet. Gotcha. So from 8 to noon on Christmas Day, I can't remember what year this was, I went through their WordPress files, cleaned out hack code. I don't know if you've ever done that, but you can
no,
spot it.
No, I just hire security if that ever happens.
And I put their site back up. And then I repitched them the maintenance security plan, thinking that you're obviously going to say yes now. And they still said no.
Gotcha.
That was the start to be like, okay, I don't want to clean these sites again and then have clients tell me no. You know what? Do I really want my name on a website that's hacked? No, I don't. So maybe we should start requiring this for clients. And that started, it took a couple of years to finally make that decision concrete. And okay, that's it. We're not going to put our name on a website that we can't ensure is not going to get hacked. So eventually that's why we made that decision. Other thoughts that we had about lower tiers, because $29 a month, less than a dollar a day. But I had flirted with if you don't want to do $29 a month, maybe I'll just do a $9 a month, like a Netflix plan. And we're just going to make a backup of your site every week. That way, if the worst does happen and your hosting company doesn't have a backup, then we have one at least. But in the end, I decided that's not worth the trouble for $9 a month. So those are some other ones. But as you said, it's all in how you sell it. So what I tell our students is you can't just go tell a client, hey, host with us. It's $49 a month. Because if a client is somewhat tech savvy, they will know, well, I can go to GoDaddy and get hosting for $4.99. Mm-hmm. So the way I sell it is this. We offer hosting, maintenance, and security all bundled together, $49 a month. A small portion of that pays for your hosting. The rest of that is us going in and making sure your site is up to date. We're watching it for spam. We're watching it for bots trying to break in. When a bot does try to break in with a fake username, we add that to the security plugin to block them. And I give them stats on our page that just are overwhelmingly how many thousands of times bots have tried to break in. So I don't let them think that, oh, I'm going to pay $49 for hosting. That's not what you want them thinking. Your hosting is part of this, maybe a third, and we use premium hosting. So in their mind, I want them to think, hey, I'm hosting with them. It's set up for WordPress. That cost is probably maybe 10, 15, 20 bucks out of the whole 50. The other part is they have a team that's going in and checking my site. Mm-hmm. I think that's a mistake some folks make when they first try to pitch hosting, or they feel bad about pitching it. Why can I pitch hosting for $49 a month when I know it costs $4 a month? Because you're offering so much more than that. You're offering yourself as that middleman. And that's what really people want. They want that nerd on call, as we say, to be there for them.
Yeah. And again, that goes back to where there's pros and cons to each. You may be a little more involved. However, particularly if you're getting started out, and you're looking for recurring income options, doing hosting and maintenance together, you really can get a handful of clients and you can find out very quickly that, holy crap, I have a lot of recurring income. One of my students, he went through the course, my website maintenance plan course. And I think 3 weeks after he went through the course and started selling, he was already at $1,500 a month in recurring income with hosting and maintenance. Yeah. Like, it's amazing. And it was all based off of just what I have laid out because of what I've gone through. It's why I'm so passionate about that because, you really don't need too many clients to start building some really good recurring. And then before you know it, hey, my car payment's paid off for this month with recurring income. If I didn't get one other job, my car would be paid off. And then it's like, ooh, my car and my gas and electric are now paid off. And then it's, ooh, my mortgage this month is taken care of by my maintenance plan. That's when it really gets cool. And then now, we're still at the point where As we talked about in the outset, I have two babies now, so expenses have gone up dramatically, but we're still to the point where our maintenance plan almost covers our living expenses still.
Great.
And in full transparency, ours is about $40,000 a year recurring. Now, that was at closer to 50, but we, and I've talked about this, I forget if it was on a podcast or maybe a recent video I did, but we did maintenance for a white label client, and they dropped, I think, 15 sites. So it was a pretty big dent in our income, and it was just because they didn't need those sites anymore, and they moved on to a different platform. So it was a pretty big, it was a dent, but like it wasn't the end of the world. I lost $10,000 a year in recurring, but you know what? It's not the end of the world because I have the other $40,000 that we're continuing to grow. To your point, like once you get it in place, that's a beauty about a maintenance plan. It's scalable. And that's what's so, so cool about it is it's fairly easy to scale once you get that all in place. And I think one thing I wanted to mention too that you talked about was you fixed your client site and then they didn't sign up with you. The big thing with that, for anyone who goes through this, particularly if you're getting started out, you want to offer the maintenance plan to say, hey, here's what we offer. Here's why you should join. And if you don't go with us, these are the consequences. You could get hacked. You might get spam or malware or a lot of other problems that could happen to your site. And inevitably, when it happens, that's your opportunity to close. It sounds like a little bit of a shady kind of thing, but I've done that. I've had numerous clients. Actually, I do a case study in my course on the emails that came in from a client who got hacked. They declined our plan. And then a couple years later, they got hacked. And they were like, hey, we know you offer this maintenance plan. You know, now we're hacked. So we're going to sign up, whatever you need to do. And I was able to onboard them and it's been great ever since. So a couple of really important things there. You want to essentially protect yourself as a web designer. And then inevitably because you're not going to land 100% of clients, but for the few who decline it, that's where maintenance really comes into play in the future, because once they do get hacked, you got a new client right there. So, and I think it's important too, not to be like, well, I told you so. It's got to be done in a nice way, saying like, yeah, that's why we do this. We want to make it a win-win. And we want to not only protect our work, but protect you guys because look how costly it is. So I do want to say that too. You don't want to be like, yep, told you, duh. Because I see some other designers throwing that stuff out on social media. It's like, dude, don't go that route. You're going to burn yourself. But yeah, in any case, good stuff, man. That's definitely, website maintenance plans, like we talked about, they're huge. I think it's the most obvious. And it's huge for recurring income stability. And I've found, do you guys find too that for me, it's a win-win because we stay front in mind of our clients and they kind of remember us because we send them a report each month. So whereas before launching our maintenance plan, I would build a website, I would launch it and they would just go their own separate way. And it's not that the client didn't want to work with me in the future again. It's just that they forgot about me or they're not, if we're not in their presence front of mind every month, they're likely just going to forget like, oh yeah, who did our website like 3 years ago? Or if it's a business and they have turnaround internally, they're like, oh yeah, who did the website like 3 years ago? So with a maintenance plan, you stay in front of mind. Have you guys found that it has opened up more work for you guys and ongoing edits and things like that?
Yes. So usually, like I mentioned, we have about at least 50 that sign up per year, sometimes 52, 55, usually between 50 to 60 per year. And we usually lose about 2 to 3 sites on average per year. Some years it's one, some years it might be four. And those are usually folks who maybe went out of business or it's a side hustle they're not doing anymore. Every once in a while, it will be someone who does go to a bigger agency. And that's fine. Sometimes we have clients that their new website, they've grown their business to the point where we don't want to necessarily do their new website because maybe it has too many functions, features that we want to mess with. Mm-hmm. Honestly, if someone has a $20,000 budget, we're probably not the best fit for them. We've done a couple of those last year. We did some 15. In my experience, once it gets 10 or more, it might not be worth it. It might, for me personally,
I had that same conversation. I did a webinar in my business course. And one of the questions was, do you like those? Because we're wrapping up at 10,000 right now. And I'll be honest, I think I'm going to do a case study podcast with Jonathan, my designer. We're going to talk about lessons learned because it has not been a fun project. And it's it's like 6 months into it, and it's a huge e-commerce site that just grew legs and got really messy. The client's not unhappy, like they're, you know, but it's just, it's like every party involved is just, we just all want to be done with it. I would much rather do the 2,500 small business website and knock it out in a few weeks and have a nice, fun experience and do multiple of those. And I think we talked about this last time we talked on my scaling series, but you get more people on your maintenance plan if you do if you go that route.
And more word of mouth too.
Good call. Yeah.
And clients refer clients like themselves, you know? So if I'm working with a respectable small business owner who's fun to work with, the folks he hangs out with, the other business owners he hangs out with, probably more like that person, him or her, and they're going to send more people like that. So every big project that you do, their word of mouth is going to be other CEOs at decent sized companies to come hit you up and go through that whole deal. But yeah, no, we also send out a year end email that kind of says, hey, here's how many WordPress updates we did, all clients. And these are big numbers. Cool. Here's how many plugin updates we did. Here's how many theme updates we did and updates in general and zero sites hacked, right? That's the smallest number down there. So then clients really get to see, wow, look at all they're doing, all the work they're doing on my behalf every single month or whatever, however often each quarter, yearly, however often you send them out. So yes, absolutely. It does keep you in their mind. And also you have to know that every once in a while, some of these owners are hearing from other owners they know that maybe are going through a site hack at that moment and how terrible it is or whatnot. And they might think, man, thank God for In Transit Studios, you know, or thank God for Artillery Media. So if you're newer at pitching, hosting maintenance, and if you're newer starting out in web design, I do feel like it's going to be hard at first because the clientele you're working with might be lower budget, right? They might not be able to afford the $49 a month. And that's where I recommend having another plan, maybe just hosting or just maintenance only and security. That's just maintenance security at a minimum.
Yeah. You know, one thing I talk about too in my course is a backup plan or a fallback. Mm-hmm. I don't advertise this, but right now our main plan is $59. And then if they have hosting or two sites, it's 75. And then we like e-commerce is 95 and we have some higher tiers. And I'm kind of reworking how I go about that. Cause even that is very affordable. Like you guys are definitely on the lower end as far as other maintenance plans.
Our lowest tier. Yeah. We have two other tiers. Yeah.
But what I do is if somebody just declines that and they say, listen, you know, we just don't make that much. It's just a portfolio site. We don't want to do that. I do have a backup. I say, well, we do have this $39. It doesn't include everything as far as like because we offer an hourly retainer if needed for other clients. I'm not sure, maybe figure out what you guys do with that. But that's been a big sell for us as we say, we're in your corner every month for small updates and they're covered. As long as it's under an hour of our time for this website, it's covered, which works out pretty well. Some clients are needier than others, but for the most part, it's only like two or three clients who you do that every month. So it works out. But I say that to say I have like the $39 backup that's just doing the updates, monitoring, and backups. And that goes through Managed WP. So to your point, we're paying maybe a dollar something for that site, and it's $39 extra. And they can always scale up if they say, look, we want to do more with our website. Let's move up to the full plan so we get an hour a month if we need to.
One thing that we offer our students, and you can take this if you want to, and I think maybe eventually we'll open it up to simple Divi sites, is when you're learning how to build a website, I think the trickiest part sometimes is setting up a test site, right? Depending on which host you're using. Mm. If you have to deal but setting up a test site can be tricky. And then launching the website, right? That seems to be a tricky part too, because there's, I don't know, 20 ways to launch.
You're talking about
website.
Going from like a subdomain to a real life site, migrating
or if your test site's somewhere else or whatnot. Oh. So then we decided, hey, let's as Break Into Web, let's offer our students resellable hosting maintenance security plans. And so basically, hey, for 20 student, you sign up your client, our cost is $24 a month. And here's what we'll give you for that $24 a month. We'll give you a test site with Divi ready to go. So you don't have to worry about setting up WordPress and loading Divi and a child theme. We'll do that for you. We'll load up our Break Into Web child theme. Boom. You build the site. Client eventually loves the site. Yay. They want to launch it. We'll launch it for you. Give us the domain access. We'll launch it for you. We'll roll it live, do all the checks, make sure it's all good, set up Yoast or whatever, and then boom, now it's yours. We recommend that you charge your client at least $49 a month for the service. Here's a pre-made pricing table with three tiers in Divi that you can put on your own website. And here's the task every month. And so basically we get $24 a month just for hosting it, maintaining security. And then at the other levels, we start introducing stuff the student is responsible for, like an hour of edits or a strategy phone call. We're not going to do edits. We're not going to do that stuff. We're right. just going to host and maintain the website and provide security. Now for that service, Kelly runs that, my partner in Breaking the Web, and she uses Flywheel for all that.
So it's kind of like a white label maintenance
absolutely. Service. Yeah. It's higher, but we're doing a little more than, let's say you can get reseller SiteGround hosting, right? And pay what, $4 or $5 per site, but they're not going to, they probably would set up a test site for you because their support is phenomenal, right?
It's yeah. They, you know what though? And one thing about hosting, and I wanted to mention this earlier, I'm glad you kind of reminded me to mention this. Even as awesome as SiteGround is, you never want to rely on your host for backups, security, support. And that's one thing I think every web designer, you found that out the hard way. I found that out the hard way. Oh my gosh, talk about nightmare. I know we've all had these situations, but let's see, this was 2015. I launched this site for this real estate company that was for their agents. So we had like the customer site that we built, and then we did these agent sites, and there were three agent sites. There was like one landing page and there was one for Florida and one for Colorado. Well, long story short, there was issues with this hosting company they were using. And something happened with the server where we went live and like 2 days later, something happened with the server and I went in and tried to fix something and I accidentally deleted the databases. And I didn't know, I didn't have a good understanding of cPanel back then. And that's why. I hate to keep on plugging my courses, but that's why I did a course on cPanel because that is so important. But I had no idea how the databases were connected and I accidentally deleted the sites, the databases. And the client called, they were freaking out. They had just pushed this huge promotion out for these sites. It was, I was at dinner with my wife's family. Same thing. I was getting calls like, oh God, crap.
I love it.
And then
so good.
I called this hosting company. I'm like, hey, can you roll back these sites? And they're like, we don't have like restore points or whatever. And I was like, what? Like, you don't have that? And I didn't back them up. I didn't have them. And yeah. I had to recreate the sites the next day. I worked like 20 hours straight and I rebuilt the sites as best as I could. Luckily, it was all fresh in my mind and I had all the graphics and stuff, but I had to reinstall WordPress, redo the site. And I had to literally build like three sites in 20 hours to get them back up. That's just a good lesson learned as to number one, why you don't want to rely on hosting companies for that. Number two, why you want to make sure you have a security and maintenance plan and that you have backups in place just for that reason. And number three, you also want to make sure you have a good understanding of cPanel because you build websites, you got to know cPanel.
So if you're watching this right now and you're overwhelmed with technical overwhelm.
Yeah, I didn't mean to take us down there.
I do too. But if you're like, wow, guys, this recurring revenue sounded great at the beginning of this, but now these stories, these nightmare stories, well, guess what? You don't have to go through that. We've already thrown out a few options. Number one, you can take Josh's cPanel course, his recurring revenue course, and you can learn up and train yourself up on it and be prepared so you don't make these dumb mistakes that we made. Learn from our mistakes, right? Or number two, you can hit me up and if you want to take advantage of that, hey, John, I just want to resell your guys' hosting main security and have you guys take care of all that stuff. If the site goes down or database, and maybe Josh has something similar, but you can do that too. That's why I wanted to offer it to our students was, hey, look, I know this sounds overwhelming,
but
if you're able to sell this at $49 a month, which is very reasonable, and we'll help you sell it, and we'll give you the sale page for it, then every month, let's say you sell it at $49 a month, student, every month you're going to get $25 a month and you're not logging, you're not pressing the update button in Manage WP or Infinite WP or who cares? It's not on you. The site goes down. You're not dealing with any of that stuff. you're just collecting $25 a month. Or if you can sell it for $59 or $69, more power to you. Now you're making $35 or $45. So that's kind of why we wanted to offer that.
Yeah, I really like that you do that, because particularly for people who are just getting started out, and it can be overwhelming learning everything about web all at once. I like you said, I do my courses to empower people to know as much as they can and to handle that and make more. But your option is great, to have an option for somebody else to handle it while you kind of level up and while you're learning, which I think that's huge. And I think one important thing to note, because you're right, like we have gone down, I did not intend for us to have so many hard lessons learned, but I'm glad that we're talking about this, John, because we're explaining like what we've gone through. I'm surprised that either one of us have hair on our heads after some of those, like most people.
Grandpa on my side.
Right. Yeah. Like most people in industries, I mean, every industry has their hard times, but there's just something about web designers to where we go through some stuff that most other industries, and it's why, like, I had some designer friends who tried to get into web, and they, as soon as they got into the cPanel hosting stuff, they were like, nope, not even, I'm just going to stick with this other industry. But the cool thing is once you get a good understanding of it, it ain't rocket science. Nope. And the cool thing about it is you really don't need to know too much before you understand it. And there are a lot of tools and services that we've talked about that will help. But the really cool thing is it just makes you more valuable. And you as a web designer, and I'm sure you'll back me up on this, when you become that web guy or that web gal, and a client has an email go down and they're like, I changed my domain, and what's an MX record? What is this? And you're like, oh, well, your MX record points where your email should go. Then they're like, oh my gosh, I didn't know that. You can really be like, you just become so much more valuable, and you can literally make a client for life with knowing some of this stuff. Because you figure somebody's email problem out, or their domain breaks, or their site gets hacked, and you get them on a maintenance plan and you get it fixed, you will be a savior to some of these businesses. And listen, businesses and business owners do not realize how valuable their websites are and domains and email are until it goes down. And I know you've seen this too. Like, as soon as something like that happens, the web designer is the most important person in their network. And not only should you be compensated fairly for what you know, but you will make a client for life. Like I have dozens of clients who I've helped out with stuff like that, and they're still with me today. So I don't know. I just wanted to say that because, yeah, we have covered a lot of probably things that are like, oof, this sounds like a nightmare. And yes, if you don't have a good understanding of it, it can be a nightmare. But I think what else is important about this is that even if you don't do a maintenance plan, or you don't think you want to worry about hosting or maintenance, you're going to experience this stuff at some point. If you build a website, and even if you just give it to their client, they're going to get hacked one day and they're going to call you. Or their email is going to go down and they're going to call you, and they're going to be like, hey, what's going on? Why my email go down? And you're like, I built your website. I don't know anything about your email. Like, it's all interconnected, which is why it's so important to have a good understanding of. And I know, John, that's why you've been passionate about sharing what you've experienced and learned, which is the same as me. So yeah, didn't mean to get on a soapbox there, just wanted to point that out because it's so important.
The reason we have hair on our heads, besides genetics, is because of recurring revenue. I'm telling you, if you're listening to this right now, and yes, it can be a struggle at times, but those struggles are greatly outweighed by the freedom that you get once you are pulling in 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8K a month recurring revenue. So at some point we'll just hire, a part-time employee to do all ours for us.
Right.
So you will get to that point eventually too.
You can also share it. Like, my wife does our updates and reporting.
Right.
Yeah. So once a month she sends out the reports, and you can automate that through ManageWP, but we like to keep it personal. And she actually combs through each report to make sure the analytics are popping up correctly and stuff. So there's a lot of options like that too, where, yeah, if you have a family member, or if you're a stay-at-home mom and that's something you could do, or you could hire out to shoot. I know people who have teenagers now and they're utilizing them for assistance with stuff like that. Instead of working at McDonald's, they can work with
some teenagers.
How cool is that though? Like, it's amazing. Yeah. To your point, man, the freedom that comes with it. I have one regret in web design. And it is
not
starting a maintenance plan before 2016.
From day one. And if you're like, I don't know how, then partner up with someone who does and just upsell their service.
Yeah.
Yes, you can be, and I tell this to our students, you can be a 7 out of 10 designer, even a 6 out of 10 designer. But if you're a 9 out of 10 on client communication and being there, even if you don't know all the answers, but you know where to go get them, whether through Google or the hosting company, that's going to keep people with you long-term rather than I'm an amazing designer. I'm a 10 out of 10, but my communication is horrid. And if your site goes down, I don't get back from you for 3 days. So it's real. I know it's cliche, but we are really in the customer service industry. We happen to build websites and 100%. happen to be decent designers. So we are, other ways,
yeah. Sorry, I was just going to say, we are absolutely, we are, web designers are more customer service than anything. And yeah, and I talk about this too. I've talked about this in a few podcasts, but when you get a web design client, it is not a one and done service. I mean, very, you know, maybe if they do a project and they just go on elsewhere, but 9 times out of 10, that client either ideally is going to be on your maintenance plan or hosting, and you're going to keep in touch with them monthly through report, and they'll be a client for life, and your income will continue to grow month after month after month with recurring income as you get more of those. Or even if they move on, you're still that web guy or that web gal, and 3 years down the road, they need to make website updates or they have a hack. Like, you know, like I said, who did the website? Then they circle back around to you. You are going to be in that person's life for a very long time. But anyway, I think maybe this is a good time to segue to some other options for recurring income. Because
are there other ones?
Yeah, so go for it, man.
So I'll just run down through the different ways I get recurring revenue, or what I think is recurring revenue, and then you can correct me if it is or not. And then I'll kind of give you a rough idea of what per month that is. So obviously the main one is hosting and maintenance that we just spent a good chunk on. Another one I'll talk about is a niche website service where you just charge monthly. So for example, Brilliant Site is a one-page website solution that we offer to folks who are either an author or want to be a motivational speaker. And how that happened is I teamed up with a guy who has an online school to help people become motivational speakers. But these wannabe motivational speakers were using Wix and Squarespace to build their sites. They were doing it themselves. So even though the themes on those platforms are gorgeous, these people are putting unedited photos on there, the copy, too much copy, not a great ideal thing. But they don't have $1,000 or $2,000 or $3,000 or more to spend on a website because they're just trying this motivational speaking thing out. So we offer a, hey, $49 a month, we'll give you a gorgeous one-page website. Three designs to pick from. All of them have been run through by Josh, who's like the speaking guru guy that they all look up to. And so having him be kind of that proof that it's Josh approved, right? So that does pretty good too. That brings in, I split that with another guy. That only brings in maybe $600 or $700 a month. The biggest issue with that one,
that's a nice car payment right there, though.
It is a nice car payment. But the biggest issue we have is churn rate. So about half the folks that sign up end up quitting like under 2 years.
Oh, I see.
So we're kind of at just like a treading water point with it. To where now if we don't put any extra money into marketing outside of the guru and his school, it's just gonna stay at that level, which is fine with me. But just letting you know, if you do niche down to a certain market like that, I think the motivational speaker market, it'd also be similar like a fitness coach market.
Someone
wants to be a fitness coach, they might do a year with you maybe, and then be like, hey, my fitness coach business isn't really happening.
It's funny you mentioned that because I just got approached by a guy. I'm in a networking group that meets every Friday morning, and we had a guest who is he works for a publishing place with like up and coming authors. And he asked me about the same thing. He's like, I just want to set up like a one page template that all of our authors can have as a part of our membership. Would you guys want to design the sites? And I said, that's not really what that's not an ideal project for us. But I will say, if you can work it out to where it's profitable, even if it's a low cost plan, it could work out. And then particularly for those who are just getting started out to where an extra $600 a month, if that's like, when you're starting out, that's awesome. $600 a month recurring, that is huge. So there are, niching down like that. I think if I was earlier in my career, I would have taken that more seriously. But yeah, I just kind of said, you know, we're at a place where we're doing specialty sites and stuff like that. But yeah, great. It's a great option.
So the author one wouldn't be too bad, because if you think about it, so the motivational speaking one, that's really easy for someone to give up on as a dream to be a motivational speaker. But if I write a book and I pour in hours into this book and I have a web page that's costing me $50 a month, that's about my book and an Amazon link to buy it, me shutting down that page is almost like me giving up on selling my book. That's harder to do as opposed to, yeah, I thought I wanted to be a fitness coach. I talked to some friends. I had 3 clients. They all kind of fizzled out. I decided I really don't like it. So a book one, I'd probably maybe even, that would be better than motivational speaking. So I guess all that to say, you know, just pick that niche carefully and try to do things that folks will have a hard time giving up on. Like, I wrote this book. I spent all this time. Shutting it down means I'm giving up on that book.
That's a great point. As opposed to, like you said, like a trainer, to where they might give it a shot for a few months and say, I don't want to do this anymore. Yeah.
So that's one. And so we're actually going to revamp how we do. So we built those designs pre-Divi, before I knew about Divi, and we built them with advanced custom fields. So the back end is really easy. It takes about 30 minutes to set up one of these pages, but we are going to redo those 3 designs in Divi. And then one of our pro features is going to be, now you can have unlimited landing pages with split testing. Well, guess where we're going to get the split testing from? Divi. Guess where we're going to get the landing pages from? The layouts, you know? So now we're just like, hey, now we have this vast library of 100 landing pages you could have. Have a book? Oh, here's 3 options. Have a course? Here's 3 options. And they're all in that library. So that's one thing we're going to do with Brilliant Site. Another way I make some recurring revenue, obviously, is with Superfly. So we sell Divi Child themes and plugins. I help design a good chunk of those. I'm a part owner of that. That brings in some money as well. So there's always that. You could start your own store, and it can be tough, but you can get that going.
There's also marketplaces like Divi Cake. They're not as popular as they were, I think, a few years ago, but like Divi Cake.
Oh yeah.
A couple other marketplaces I think are out there. For, you know, it has to be quality for one thing.
Yes.
Like, yeah, you could start your own store like you guys did with Superfly. If you do the other route, they take a percentage, but yeah, it's got to be quality. And it is a cool way to get your name out there in the market, though, as far as Divi goes.
A cool thing that might be happening soon is the Elegant Themes Marketplace.
I've been hearing about that for 3 years. I don't know.
It's definitely getting closer. So we've got some correspondence from Elegant Themes on it. And so we're kind of prepping products right now for it. Mm. But when that launches, that might be a good time for a new because right now the challenge is, if you're a new store, it's really hard to break through the noise of all the other stores in the groups. I kind of got into it when there was only like maybe 4 or 5 other solid stores. And so I kind of feel fortunate that it was a timing thing, mm-hmm. but you got to be ready for that, right? You have to be ready for that opportunity when it pops up. But that's just one way.
Sorry, John, real quick on that. Like, one thing to consider too, I've thought about this with, cause I just have a handful of layouts. My focus is on my courses and not layouts or child mm-hmm. themes. But if I did focus on that, the cool thing about that are my designs are based off of my real world experience with real clients. Nothing against Elegant Themes or some of the layouts, but a lot of that stuff, let's be honest, it's like, well, here's a cool design, but it's not real world tested necessarily before
practical.
It's rolled out. Yeah. So that's one thing. Like, I would not start your career with building child themes because it's probably not going to work out. But if you're a designer and you've worked for a year or a couple of years and you did a really nice automotive site for a chiropractor or something, you've got some really good designs. How cool is that to be able to not only share that with other people because it's based off of things that are hopefully actually working, but you can empower other people to use it for their clients and you can make money as well recurring. So yeah, it could be a win-win.
So our top selling theme, Josephine, which has been out for quite a few years now.
Yeah,
that is exactly how that happened. I did a website for, you'll know him, Peter Furler, a Christian musician.
Oh, yeah. Was that Newsboys?
Yes. And he wanted the Squarespace theme really bad. And I was like, hey, I don't work with Squarespace. I work with WordPress, but I'll make, can I make your design look like that? And then can I take your design afterward? I'll swap out all the content, put different photos from Unsplash in there, right? And I will, can I sell that as a theme? And he didn't care. He was like, absolutely. In fact, he actually paid me half in cash, half with a snare drum that he used to use.
Oh, so nice.
I have that in my closet. Oh, cool. Over here.
But only drummers would take that sort of payment.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure that was an example of, hey, the market is kind of missing, the Divi market community is kind of missing this look and feel.
Yeah.
So sure, if you've done, and a lot of times, you know, reselling a construction theme or an attorney theme doesn't sound that great, but that's the kind of websites we're all doing. And so it's always nice to have multiple options. So getting involved, that's another way to get some recurring revenue, is either latching onto a store and selling your products in that store, or maybe the upcoming Divi marketplace. That's another way. Obviously, through Superfly, I also have the CSS for Divi course, but courses, whether it's through the Divi community or Break Into Web, that's another way to make recurring revenue that both Josh and I have, Josh more so than me.
Well, and I think one thing important too with courses is I just love courses. It's awesome. We probably need to do a separate episode on courses, but it's amazing to be able to share what you know and then see it impact other people. And I really encourage that. I know I've had a couple people reach out to me recently asking about, like, bloggers, a few other web designers, and people in other industries who have been like, how do you do it? One of them was in a personal training industry. And he approached me about courses. He's like, hey, I see you're doing courses. Like, how's that working out for you? What have you learned? And no matter what industry you're in, once you get to a certain point, you're likely going to be viewed as somewhat of an expert. And I'm using quotations there, mm-hmm. in that field. And even if you don't consider yourself an expert, it is totally fine to share what you know. As soon as you get to a place where you feel like, I might be able to make a course on that, even if it's just a 10 part, like, you know, 10 posts that are wrapped up into a part, maybe it's $29 or something.
Yeah.
That's good recurring income right there. This year, I'm planning on doing a course on sales and marketing or something to that effect. And maybe even one on speaking and communication, because I've learned so much with that, as you found out in my last podcast, episode 17. But like last year, would I have ever thought to do a speaking course? Heck no. But now I've realized, you know what? I've been approached so many times and I've been asked about it that this may be a viable thing. So I just wanted to say that to encourage anyone who's getting asked about, you know, their knowledge. If you can turn it into something as some sort of course or a training or a workshop, I highly recommend, yeah, do it. Just do it. What's the worst that can happen? Maybe you don't sell as much as you wanted to, but you're going to learn a lot, and you may sell a lot more the next time you go for it. So,
well, yeah. And we run our interns and subcontractors, if need be, if they need the training, we run them through the technical part of Break Into Web. So it solves a couple of problems. It solves the problem of us getting our interns or subcontractors to know how we build websites. And then now with every student that goes to Break Into Web, now I have a pool of people who all know how to build websites the exact same way. Not only is our private Facebook group, initially it was more about question and answers, right? And we have a monthly live Q&A too. But now we're starting to see students working together and subcontracting each other, because guess what? They all know how to build websites the same way.
They're in the same tribe, right? They're like same mindset, same.
Yeah. They've all been trained the same way. Yeah.
I'm going to share with you a little hidden motivation for my courses that I've never expressed publicly.
Okay. Wow.
I don't know. I don't intend on selling in Transit Studios, but I've been very public about the fact that I'm kind of getting myself out of a lot of the the business roles. Jonathan, my lead designer, now does all the design. He's moving into more of some of the project management and some of the operations side of things. But I say that to say, with courses, one really cool option is that one day, if you ever do decide to sell the business, if I ever one day decide to sell in Transit, not only am I going to have the business and our recurring income, which, side note, you could, if you get a website maintenance plan that's bringing in, let's say, $2,000 a month, you can sell that for double that if you wanted to, at least, because it's recurring, it's automated, it's easy money. But I say that to say, one day if I sell in transit, not only am I going to have the recurring income, the business, all my contacts, and my decade at this point of experience, but I'm going to have a bunch of training courses about business, about our web design process, about cPanel, about the maintenance plan. Everything is laid out in detail that normally I would have had to create like back end. Like I would have essentially had to create all those courses anyway as training videos.
Right.
And yep. behind my
exactly.
business.
Exactly.
Now yep. it's like yep. they could go through that and it could be, it really levels up the value of my business. So that's one thing anyone could consider is a course as an asset to the business.
Yeah, absolutely.
And same for you guys. Like, I don't know what your guys' long-term plan is with Artillery Media, but one day if you sell it, you guys have Breaking the Web and all your experience laid out in these videos that could be applied to anyone who purchases a business per se.
Yeah, and we'll have a recurring book of business monthly of who knows how much, right?
Right, yeah.
If I sell in 10 years and we do 50 a year, that'll be roughly 500 more sites paying the $50 a month, right? I mean,
yeah. Or even more with inflation if it's right, 75 even, or 100 right. then, who, yeah.
Yeah, it's hard to look down too far down the road because we don't know what technology will come in and stuff like that, but we'll adapt. Yeah. We will adapt like we always have, and we'll think of more ways to enhance that recurring revenue, maintenance, hosting. Who knows what that'll look like in 10 years.
Yeah.
But even then, let's say eventually, like I mentioned, you know, let's say you're doing 25 sites a year and you're charging $49 for your hosting and maintenance. And let's say you're profiting $40 of that. I think a freelancer can do 25 sites a year. That's about, you know, selling a site every 2 weeks. You probably do that as a solo guy, right? Or gal. So 25 sites times that, you know, $40 a month in profit after the $9. That's 2K every year. Yeah. That's 2K yeah. every year you're adding. So 5 years down the road, you're 10K a month. Or 10 years down the road, you're 20K a month. Now, mm-hmm. will you want to sell that? You might. Or you just hire someone and give them $2,000 a month to run it all for you and you just keep collecting it. So whether you end up selling it or not, I mean, I'm a big fan of the book Built to Sell, which really
love was, that book. I'm so glad you recommended that to me because it's one of
really
my favorites.
Was a catalyst of me trying to turn us into as many productized services as possible. That's really what we're talking about here. We're talking about a bunch of recurring products, right?
Yeah, I think it's one of the first books I recommend in my business course. And everyone I talk to or who messages me about like good free like or really low cost like trainings or something, I'm like, read Built to Sell. Because not only, again, John, I'm glad you reminded me of that. Because yeah, you recommended it when we talked this time a couple years ago. And I like the title, even though I had no interest in selling my business, right. I like the title. And yeah, the biggest thing I got was productizing your service to where you essentially just focus on what's most profitable, which as you and I have very clearly stated are some of our recurring income options.
Well, I believe the tagline is building a business that runs without you. And you said a few times in this conversation, I'm removing myself from the business. So I like design. That's all I do now. I don't do client onboarding. I don't do proposals. I do design and I do a lot of the invoicing for the maintenance plans I do. And then Jake does invoices for site builds. But okay. I like invoicing for the monthly. I mean, it's automated through FreshBooks, but I like seeing that come in and kind of Scrooge McDuck counting the coins.
Yeah. Well, and that's the beauty, right? Recurring income opens you up to, well, like, what do I want to focus on? What do I like to do?
Oh, 1,000%. So a couple final things here, a couple ways to make some recurring revenue. And then we'll review the list. But one is, okay, so when you're doing a course or when you're doing tutorials, there's affiliate money to be made. So obviously when someone goes through our course, we pitch Divi. They need to buy Divi. They use our affiliate link. We pitch either Flywheel or SiteGround hosting. They have to buy that. We have affiliates for that. If they want to get into email marketing and use like a AWeber or ConvertKit, there's affiliates for that. Those actually pay monthly. SEO affiliates, another big one. There's two SEO folks that we use. They both pay monthly SEO. So right now, Artillery has about $1,000 a month coming in through SEO affiliates. I know folks that have a lot more than that. How much we have. And then,
and even folks who aren't doing courses or anything, you can do the affiliate money mm-hmm. with hosting. Like, So if you don't want to take on hosting yourself, kind of like I prefer you can have your affiliate link. And side note, in Ohio, it must not affect you guys, but SiteGround, there's a tax in Ohio on digital sales. So I cannot have an affiliate account now with SiteGround, and I'm so upset about it. So I don't get any affiliate sales for hosting now because of some digital tax law in Ohio, but I did for a while and it was awesome because every time a client would sign up for SiteGround, I get $50. And then I think if it was like, it might be for you guys, if you get like five people to sign up with that link, then you get like $75 a sign up. So anyway, you don't have to be a course creator or an influencer to start generating affiliate income because it could be on tools too. Like you said, Divi, like if your client, more than likely you're going to use your version of Divi or whatever. But if for some situation, you know, there's a way that you can have your affiliate links out there for clients or professional networks. A little bit of affiliate income, that never hurts. And that's beauty about that is that's not recurring income, that's passive income. So you're not passive.
We can't count on it. I think over time with the course there'll be an average that we can come to rely on somewhat with some of that. But you're right. I was going to say something on that, but I was going to say the first decent hosting company, whether it's SiteGround or Flywheel, the first one that comes out with a monthly recurring affiliate will just kill it. I don't know why they don't. I don't know why they don't do $5. Hey, instead of giving me $50 one time, give me $5 a month. Or, you know, I'd much rather take that. I know it's going to cost them more, but then I would be a little more fanatic about them and about getting that going. The last way I have written down, which I do have one retainer client. There's one client, it's a ministry. I've done eight websites for them. I do music events with them and they pay me a decent monthly retainer just to build new stuff and manage all that. So with all those combined, so I'll go over them really quick. Our preferred method is hosting and maintenance security. I think the easiest one is probably maintenance security by itself. Then there's niche market sites like Brilliant Site. We talked about selling a site monthly on a $49 a month plan. Superfly is about to launch a separate Superfly sites deal, same kind of deal. You just pay a monthly fee for your site, no big front up cost thing. They're selling products through a store or your own thing, like what I do with Superfly. Obviously, there's courses or having folks buy courses or having folks pay monthly access to a course you might have or a membership that you might have. The affiliate, which is more passive. The retainer, which I talked about. A buddy of mine and I actually have a few music pieces on audiojungle.net that brings about maybe $10 a month in.
You know what? I'm still making money from my old band, man. Heck yeah. It's $30 a month, but that's $30 a month.
And then all the while, some of these recurring revenue streams can go into building a sellable business, but I want to be real. I don't want to come off haughty or cocky or bragging or anything like that, but to be real with you, so I'm quite a bit older than Josh. I think I'm turning 40 this year. But all these streams,
you
combined,
could pass for 32, John. No.
Thanks,
kidding,
man. It's because of low stress. It's because of recurring revenue. It keeps you looking.
You were looking old until you had all the nice recurring income stream, and then it just gets their skin gets tanner.
The reason why I go on rants in our private Facebook group and in our monthly live calls, just about, gosh, build this recurring revenue over the long term. You will.
Yeah, and it's a long term game, right? It's not overnight.
It's a long game. Absolutely,
it's a long game.
You will. At the beginning, it's tougher because it's not a lot of money coming in, right? Unless you're Josh's star student that gets $1,500 a month, like in 3 months or whatever that was. But you're going to look down the road however many years later. So I think we started. I should say, too,
he also had pre-existing clients.
Right.
So
I figured he was able to. Like,
I just didn't want people thinking like overnight, I can just, you know, he had an existing network and But yeah,
we have one client right now who's on our, so just as our hosting has three tiers, when I was doing the maintenance and security by itself, it had three tiers, 29, 49, and like 79. I have a gal on the $49 security and maintenance plan, and she's hosting with GoDaddy. And she and I've tried so many times to get her to come over. She's on GoDaddy's old hosting, so it's not even the new, the modern cPanel. It's like way back. Yeah. Like it can't go past like what PHP 5.4 or something like that. And so she's got that notice in WordPress about the PHP. Yep.
We have one of those too.
I keep hitting her up. Like I'm like, her name's Marcy. I'm like, Marcy, if you roll to our hosting, it's $49 a month. That's it. You're paying $49 a month for security and maintenance, and you're paying GoDaddy every year. You will save money if you just, and we'll do all the switching for you. It'll be so easy. And she just won't do it for whatever reason. But we have a lot of clients that we converted from our hosting to our hosting.
Nice.
So all that to say, all combined, my goal for the end of 2020. And if we just do the regular 50 sites, I'll hit it. My goal for the end of 2020 is to have $10,000 a month in recurring revenue. And that'll happen if we do the 50 sites, barring we don't lose 10 or 20 sites.
The cool thing is you're not far from that right now. Like even if you do 30.
I'm at 89.50 or something like that right
all
now.
Recurring.
Per month. Yeah.
Awesome.
But if that retainer goes away, that's $1,500 of it, right? Most of it is hosting and maintenance and Superfly, but hosting and maintenance is number one, and that's the one I can count on. That's the one I'll keep doing it. Like for example, in Break Into Web, Kelly wants Break Into Web to be her main job someday, which is great. Me, I want to keep building these websites, and like you through Jonathan, you're continuing to build websites. So if you're out there, because here's the thing. I know when you're younger doing web design, it might sound boring, hosting, maintenance, security. It's not as fun. And you're kind of still in the phase where each new website's like a new adventure, right? It's still fun. You know what I'm saying? But eventually you're going to get burnout. You're going to get burnout. And eventually you're going to want to filter what projects you take. And there's only two ways to do that. The preferred way is to have enough recurring revenue to where you can be picky and say, I don't want to do that $10,000 bank website. It's just going to be, the money would be nice, but it's going to be a hassle. Or that medical
200 hours later.
Or that medical one that has a bunch of HIPAA requirements and has a bunch of accessibility requirements. And the other way is just to raise your prices. Which sounds great, but as you raise your prices, and like I said earlier, I think once you get above that 10K, five figures or more, it's going to be more red tape and you're just going to not like it as much. So
you also need to be more value. You got to offer more value if you're going to raise your prices significantly.
Yeah.
I'm a big proponent
of
like,
you can't just do it just to do it. Yeah.
I am a big proponent of like, if your prices are 1500 for an average build, raise them a little bit, even with what you're doing right now. I guarantee you're more valuable than what you think you are right now. Raise it to 1750 or even 1997. Like you can raise it in that same, what I call pricing bucket, and you'll likely still get the majority of the clients you're getting. You'll just make a little more each time and that will free you up with a little more money. And you can also use that to become more valuable. But yeah, like if you want to jump from charging 15 on average to 3000 to 4000 on average, that's where it's going to take some work. Got to become more valuable. Got to go through some courses, go through some training, no SEO, no copywriting, no design better, conversions. Yeah. Sorry.
And everyone that I know that's been successful at web designing for multiple years, Josh being one, myself being one, Kelly being one, number one regret is not starting some kind of recurring revenue from the get-go. And specifically maintenance, security, and in some cases hosting, if that's your thing. You know, Jake was fortunate just to start off pretty much, I think a year in, he was like, okay, I see you making this recurring revenue. How do I do that?
Yeah.
So that's my biggest thing. I know this whole episode's on recurring revenue, but I tell you what, we're about to, I found this website for remote co-working. And like the minimum stay is 30 days. And so from March 2nd to April 2nd, my wife and I are going to Hawaii to work there for 30
awesome.
Days straight and then come back. Now there's, fortunately, like I said, we're going to probably start having a family later this year. So, but without recurring revenue, we couldn't be able, it'd be a lot harder to do things like that. You know what I'm saying?
Well, and I'll tell you this, man. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
I want to say recurring revenues would also opened up my time from building websites all day to even build a Josephine theme or to even build a break into web course.
Right. It gave you the other opportunity. Yeah. Yeah. You wouldn't be able to do those other opportunities. Yeah. And I know from a family perspective, one thing I'm excited for you is when you guys do start having kids, we were fortunate. December was the least amount I've worked ever since I started my business. I worked less hours in both endeavors within transit and my JoshHall.co stuff. And it was actually the best month I've ever had, mainly because I did sales with my courses, but I still had a huge chunk of recurring income through in transit. And I was able to do that. Even we're recording this at the end of January, 2020, but even this month has been a very low month as far as time for me, because we're getting used to having two babies, and it's a lot of work. And I'm fortunate to be in the place where I built up the recurring income, and I've got some systems in place to where I'm delegating more, and I have a small team to where, yeah, it's opened the door up for freedom. So I'm able to use my time to work from home in segments, in like smaller segments, and I don't have to spend 9 to 5 at an office somewhere, or even 9 to 5 here at home. I can work from 9 to 11, take a break, take my dog for a walk, hang out with my babies, do some lunch, and then do another segment, and then hang out again and do a little segment later. Like, it's really, it's all about freedom, wouldn't you say? I mean, it really opens you up to do what you want to do.
So I'm a numbers guy, but I also am a feeler. And so, but I would like everyone who's listening to imagine, let's say the next 2 years, 2020 and 2021, you do 25 websites a year. That's selling two websites a month and then sneaking one in on one of the months. I think everyone can sell two websites a month, and you get them on that $49 a month plan, and you're at least making $40 per month. Like I said earlier, that's $2,000 a year. Let's say you do that for 2 years. That means you have roughly $4,000 a month coming in, roughly $48,000, let's say $45,000 to be safe. What does that mean for you? What does that mean to have $45,000 in recurring revenue come in that you didn't have before? Maybe that means you can bring your wife home from her job, retire her from her job, to have her be a stay-at-home mom and just kind of help you run the business to even grow that number even better. You know, maybe that does mean a new house or whatever. But I want you to really think what that means to you, and to let you know you're listening to two guys here who have done that, who have made that goal happen. Or maybe it's $3,000 a month. Maybe that's what you need to cover the mortgage and all your bills, or to bring your spouse home from that job. You know, that was one of Jake's goals, was to bring Haley home. And I think you've done the same. So it is so worth it. If the only thing you ever hear me say is recurring revenue, it is so worth it. Do it. You'll be so glad. I promise you, you will look back 5 years from now and hopefully think about this episode and be like, man, that was the spark that got me really thinking. I saw those two guys on that podcast talking, and I wanted that lifestyle. And I'm telling you, it is available. Anyway.
Yeah. Well, and the stability is huge. Yeah. I've said this from day one when I started my maintenance plan. I realized it put an end to the feast and famine of web design. Because when you go project to project, you're going to have awesome months and you're going to have terrible months. And there's going to be some times where you end up launching three sites at once and you make like $5,000 or $6,000. And then there's going to be months where it's like, crap, I have no projects coming in right now, but we're still in the midway of all these other projects. I'm not going to make much at all this month. With recurring income, it will slowly but surely and fairly quickly, you'll be surprised, make up for all that, and it can put an end to that feast and famine. So I think that's huge. I also, one thing I wanted to mention too, John, with you and me, like, we're Midwest dudes. We're not lavishly living. Like, I think that's one where a lot of the entrepreneurial space is hard to relate to not only most of the country, but most of the world, is when I see a Facebook ad for a dude who's on a yacht, man, and he's making a million, he's saying, I'm making $250,000 a month. I'm like, first of all, I can't even fathom that right now. I think it's possible. Like, and one day I want to get there, but I'm like, a few years ago, before I started my business, I was pumped up about making $15 an hour. So I've had to go through a lot of personal development to even be at the place where, like, you're talking numbers, I'll talk numbers. our recurring income right now is through our maintenance plan is $3,500 a month right now. And again, yeah, it was great. Closer to like 45 there for a little while until, but I have my other stuff now too. I have some of the things you're talking about with affiliate income, with courses are huge. I'm actually making more with courses. Yeah, I told you this before we went live. I'm making more with courses and in transit, which is really why I want to take that to the next level. And then there's the hosting. And then, yeah, everything you said, there's retainer work. So all those things considered, like I'm making enough to support a stay-at-home mom, two babies, a hungry golden retriever, and we live in a nice house in Columbus, Ohio, which is one of the top housing markets in the nation. Now,
And putting money away for retirement.
And putting money for retirement.
Two episodes ago.
Episode 16. Yeah.
That one's huge too. Check that one out.
Great. That was a big one, isn't it? Yeah, man. Saving for retirement. Whew, that really got me inspired to start jumping more in there. But yeah, all that to say, like, I'm living a good upper income Midwestern life right now through recurring income. And I don't say that boastfully. I say you can do it. And if you're in another part of the world where you're in a lower income place or country, you can white label through other Divi designers and you can do a lot of things to where maybe $500 a month would be amazing for you.
Yeah.
You could do it. Not, I don't want to say fairly easily, but very, very practically and realistically you could do it. So I just say that to say, like, I hope this is more relatable to people, because for me, when I saw these people who said they were bringing in six figures a month, I'm like, I would be happy, to your point, like if I can make 10 grand a month recurring, I'm in the same boat. I'm really close to that now. That is like, I'm kind of hitting that point now. And that's why I'm so passionate about sharing what I've learned. Same for you. You're to that point where you freed yourself up. You have the same passion I do to give back and to share that. But yeah, now it's like we're at that next level to where I feel like 10 years ago, I was pumped up about making 20 grand a year, 30 grand a year. Well, now I am pumped up about making between 120 or 200,000 a year. And then in 5 years from now, I'm probably going to be, maybe even sooner than that, I really need to be making $250,000 a year. But it's kind of one step at a time. And for web designers, where we're at right now is a prime example that with the right training and mentorship and resources and community between us and the Divi community, you could get to this place potentially within a few years. It's very, very possible.
Absolutely. And there'll be a few things that'll happen. Number one, you won't care as much whether you sold that website for $3,000 or $4,000 because your recurring revenue will be the thing. It won't. You'll just be like, oh, $3,000? All right, we'll do that because we're going to get them on our plan. Mm-hmm. Another cool moment is, you know, for some folks, there's these key moments in life that happen that are big deals, like paying off all your debt might be like the day you pay off all your debt or whatever, and you get that weight that's gone. For me, one of those times is when you realize through just doing it for so long and maybe you're just consistently, you're in demand or whatever, or through recurring revenue or a combination of both, the day you realize that you'll never work or never have to work another 8 to 5 again. I remember that moment of being like, I don't think I'm ever going to have to work another 8 to 5 again. And I think that fear of 6 months down the road, 3 months down the road, recurring revenue tackles that fear. So it's never been easier to build recurring revenue and to get into.
Isn't it amazing? We're living
these tools.
We're living in such an amazing time to where not even outside of web design, which is why I'm so passionate about web design, because it's freed me up to do what we're talking about and you, but you can do things with other industries as well. I just think web design is more practical and low cost to get into and easier to work your way into it. And the need is huge for web design. But I'll say too, like with recurring income, you know this, I've talked about this, but life happens. Shit happens sometimes. And recurring income can give you a very important buffer when that kind of stuff happens. When my daughter was in the NICU when she was born, we were in the NICU for 56 days. And thank God for my maintenance plan, because that covered our expenses. It was still a rough couple months. I had a hard time concentrating. Thank goodness I had Jonathan and a couple other subcontractors to help me out with keeping projects going. But there wasn't that like, I can't work and I have zero income coming in. It was, well, at least our expenses are covered. We're at the hospital all day anyway, so we're not going out. So we're not, you know, spending as much as we normally would or going shopping or anything. But, it was huge. And that was for me, I think that was my big life changing thing was I knew the importance of it. I was super glad I got into it. And after that, that's when I was like, you know, seriously, I have no idea. We would have made it. We would have worked it out. We would have missed our mortgage a couple times, but we didn't have to because the maintenance plan. So huge, man.
And also you have to know that when you do see those ads on Facebook, I'm a web consultant, I make 80K a month. They might, but it's an entity. It's a business entity. It's not just that one person. They have a team around them, and through that whole effort, that might be bringing in that 80 or 120 good or 250, call. 50K. But if good you just want to be like Josh and I, and just have like a small team of 3-4 people that you kind of work with, you know, Jake and Haley aren't my employees. They're just, they have their own LLC. I subcontract them. They sub me, you know, it's just this nice relationship. And I'm not responsible for their income. You know, I'm an individual freelancer, and there is a cap on, there is somewhat of a cap by yourself on what you can do with recurring revenue, but it's a great cap. It's a great cap. And I think that it's great. So don't be deceived when you see the Lamborghini and bookshelf behind in the garage, or the guy saying I make 50K a month in web consulting. What's wrong with you? How come you're not selling websites for 25 grand? I'll tell you why. Because I choose not to. Because I choose to live like, you know, the Bible talks about living lightly and freely, and that's what I want to do. And recurring revenue is one tool that allows me to live lightly and to live freely. And so it's so worth it. Build that recurring revenue.
Build it, baby. The intro to my podcast is create a lifestyle you love. So what does that look like? Is it, you know, to your point, you're able to free up drumming and doing some traveling and stuff. For me, it's spending time with the kids while these precious years are flying by. Like, I don't have to be in an office.
Imagine when your kids are in school, you're going to be able to help coach if you want. Dude, you're going to be able to.
We just talked about this. My wife and I were talking about this yesterday. We're like, what are our kids going to say when they get into school and all their friends' parents work and they're in jobs, but like mommy and daddy are home all day? And, or like worse, you know, what I do often is go to a coffee shop to work. Or one day I might do like a co-working space and just have that option if the kids are too wild at home and I need to bust out a good segment of work. But like, yeah, we've talked about that a lot. Like, what are our kids gonna say when they're like, you know, they go to school and they're gonna be like, what, your dad goes to work 9 to 5? You know, it's gonna be wild. And I'll tell you this, man, I'm sure you'll be the same way when you guys start having little ones. I am going to introduce them to recurring income and entrepreneurship immediately. Like, I'm a big thing. Like, if they don't want to go to college, cool. I don't care what they do as long as they love what they do and they work hard and they support whatever life they want to have. But yeah, like a lot of my family, you know, inevitably relatives are always going to be like, you got to save, you got to, you know, the college fund. And I'm calling ours, complete side note, we just decided we're going to call it a future fund. Great. So they want to use it for college, cool. But if they want to become an entrepreneur and have their own brand and have this or this or this, like, that's awesome. I would prefer that. They can, because to your point, there is a little bit of a cap to what you can do by yourself at some point, but it doesn't take too long to get a little bit of help and to put other systems in place to where even a cap by yourself, you could easily make 6 figures by yourself with everything we've talked about.
Absolutely.
And you can scale it from there.
So some action steps, I would say, if you're watching this, what I'd suggest is to review all the different ways we talked about how to build recurring revenue and pick a couple or maybe just the one that really speaks to you. That's like, I'm doing that or I want to do that. Step two is tie that to the number of clients that you think you can get per year on that particular service. Obviously, I used the example of 25 sites a year, so it was tied to websites launched. But then once you figure out what that number is and you decide what your tiers are or how much your product's going to be, then just like I have this chalkboard up here that says how many to go until we hit 50, do the same thing. Write that goal down. I see this thing every day, and I know it sounds like psychology mumbo jumbo, but there is something about seeing that goal every single day that puts my mind. Like when you buy a car, like I bought a Beetle, a Volkswagen Beetle. And then like a week later, we start seeing all these other Beetles around town. Well, because we're conditioning ourselves to look for them. Same thing. Good point. When you look at this goal every day, you start thinking more and more about that goal and you get better at presenting and pitching. So
that's, I love that. Great analogy.
Those are the couple of action steps I would say. And the number three, just be consistent. You know, it's the story is consistency over a long period of time using a proven plan that works. That's what, that is success right there. Consistency over a long period of time using a proven plan that works. Me being consistent in launching 50 websites per year on our maintenance plan, using our web design process, a proven plan over a long period of time, 10 years, gets me predictable results.
And you know what? I dare say it's much better than quick or overnight success, because when you're consistent and when you enjoy the process and when you take one step at a time and when you start making a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more, you grow as a person and you're able to handle that. Because this is, I don't mean to get on a soapbox, we're going to wrap this up, but this is why people who win the lottery lose it like 99.9% of the time, because they don't know how to handle that. So step at one step at a time. And then you get to the place where once you get to a few thousand a month recurring, you're conditioned to handle that. And yeah, it just builds like personal character and professional character to be able to handle that too, which is huge. So
stability. I'm going to list stability. You said it earlier, stability. And that's what you needed, right? That's when you needed it. When your daughter was going through that in the hospital, you needed some sort of stability in a world of chaos. And that stability plus your team that you put around you, that was key, man. So dude, props to you for doing it. And look, yeah, my final thought, if you're listening to this, do it now. Do not put it off. My biggest regret, Josh's biggest regret, do it now. And number two, you can do it. Clients will pay for it.
Beautiful. I didn't even have to ask you for a final thought, man. That was awesome, John. That's perfect. I'm going to list out, I'm actually jotting down the main methods you went over. I'm going to list out those action steps you just listed, because those are really good too. I'll list out a couple additional ones too that I mentioned in my business course that we didn't talk about in regards to SEO or social media, because there's other ones too. If people are familiar or feel comfortable with those, because I used to do photography and video as well, which were kind of recurring. But anyway, I'll list those out. So we'll have all these in the resources. John, thanks again, man. I am not surprised that we did by far my longest episode, but I'm not mad about it. I don't think anyone else is mad about it. People were like, your podcast should be over a half hour. Let me tell you something. My longest episodes are some of my most popular so far. So this one may take a full week for people to get through, but I do that. I don't know if you do that, but I listen to half hour segments of podcasts all the time and get through. If you listen to the Joe Rogan show or something, you're gonna find some long ones. So.
Well, let's do it again sometime, because obviously we can talk for quite a while, and because we're passionate and we've been around and we know what's up. We've been around it.
Yep. True that, man. John, thanks again. Really appreciate your time in this extended interview, and we'll definitely do a round two soon.
Absolutely. All right. Take care, y'all. Thanks, Josh.
Cheers, man. Hey guys and gals, just wanted to pop in with a couple things before you head out. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider leaving a review on iTunes or wherever you listen to this podcast. I would love to hear your feedback, and it will also help other web designers find the show. Be sure to check out the show notes for this episode. Just go to joshhall.co, click on podcasts, and search this episode number, and you'll find all the links, descriptions, and resources we talked about. And if you haven't already, make sure you subscribe and you'll be notified when the next episode is live. Thanks again for tuning in, and I'll catch you guys on the next episode.